I'm a registered nurse. My experience is mostly in the acute care area of nursing. I first became interested in working at the detention centre at Woomera through a friend of mine who had been there, and she suggested that I apply to work there. My impression when I first went to Woomera was, as I drove into the detention centre, that I saw the big fences, the high fences with the razor wire in the top, and families, ordinary families, mums and dads and little children. And I can tell you it was quite a shock to me. It was 62 degrees Celsius. The guards had trouble staying alive, walking around the perimeter, doing checks, security checks. And at that stage, not all of the rooms were air-conditioned. And certainly no comfort, and I wouldn't wish those conditions on anyone. And by the standard of any prison in Australia, I'd rather, if I had to live in those conditions, I'd much rather live in a prison than at Woomera. The terminology that the guards use were corrections officers and detention officers. Detention officer is someone, I gather, who is trained to work in a detention centre. A corrections officer is trained to work in a prison. Many of the people that worked at the detention centre for ACM were correctional officers, not detention officers. Particularly the first time I worked there, during the riot in August-September 2000, and I believe that this formed the basis for the way that they treated the asylum seekers, the residents of the detention centre at Woomera, and were partly, if not wholly, responsible for the riot that ensued while I was there because of their because of the way that they spoke to the residents. Middle-aged guard, the first time I was at Woomera, a small child had said something to him as he walked through the gate that was disrespectful. And he turned to me and said, "I wish I could have 5 minutes alone with that little C." And I said to him, "What in heaven's name would you do with 5 minutes alone with a child?" And he made the action, a punching action, you know, as if he would punch him. And I said, "Well, wouldn't that make, you know, a big difference, being able to punch a small child because he's disrespectful to someone who locks him behind a fence with razor wire?" And I came quickly to be known as what the corrections officers like to call a care bear, because they preferred to be called by the name of head kicker. So there was the division between the care bears and the head kickers. And there was only one step on the chain, on the ladder, that was lower than the nurses who were care bears, and that was another guard who was a care bear. Some of the ways that they psychologically break down the people that live there is to not let people know what's happening with their case, their application for a visa. Their progress on their application isn't they're not kept up to date on it. When people get visas, the days, they have set days when their visas are, you know, the successful applicants are taken away, and those are Tuesdays and Thursdays. So the guards would come into their little hut, their donga it's called, and say, "Get all your belongings together. You've got 15 minutes, 8 o'clock in the morning. And by 20 past 8, you had to be on the bus." So every Monday evening and Wednesday evening, the people, in the hope that they would be successful the following morning, would get all their best clothes out and pack their belongings and they'd get up. They couldn't sleep all night from excitement. Early in the morning, they would put their best clothes on and they'd pack their bag and they would wait. And the guard would come in and get, some days it was none, some days it was a lot of people, some days it was a few. And then they would say, "On the bus now." And the rest would lapse back into this depression because they hadn't been successful. So there was this cycle of hopefulness and depression and hopefulness and depression and hopefulness and depression, which would drag on for weeks, months, in some cases years. There was a body of people coming to review the Woomera Detention Centre while I was there at one stage, Mr. Flood and his entourage, and there was a hurried briefing call together by management, and it was decided to board up the kitchen and set up a temporary kitchen outside under a tent and tell the people doing the inquiry that the kitchen was being refurbished, because they knew that if it was seen in its current state, that it wouldn't meet any health regulation anywhere in Australia, and that it could adversely affect ACM's bid to have their contract renewed. because their contract was up for renewal. And that was what was done. The staff, the medical centre staff, hated going into the kitchen because of the rancid smell. It was just putrid. They break down people on every psychological level that it's humanly possible to break them down on. And one of the ones that I noticed while I was there, that supposedly for security reasons, there are huge fences around each compound, and around the whole centre there's another fence, a massive fence, a special prison fence that's got a roll of razor wire on the top and another roll of razor wire on the ground, short of having secreted a Sherman tank into the place. I don't know how anyone could get out. But for security reasons, there had to be 24-hour lighting. So when the sun wasn't out, in the evening, an hour before dark, they would, every 20 feet there was a massive diesel generator. Every 20 feet right around the whole perimeter of each compound, and these ran on diesel, and they were generators, and very, very noisy, very, very smelly, and provided 24-hour light, brighter than the sunlight. The people's rooms, their dongas, quite often were near the fences and near the generators, so there was no dark for them to sleep by at night because it was lighter than daytime. There was this low-level hum in the background constantly through the whole night, way before dark started, and up until an hour or more after the sun came up the next morning. And I have read suggestions by some psychologists overseas that low-level hums and lack of adequate darkness to establish sleep patterns would contribute greatly to some became suicidal. And others became quite angry, and I don't think I could last very long in there without, you know, throwing some stones at somebody or burning a building down. So I don't blame them for doing that at all. The whole place is set up to break a human being down.
I think there would be many factors that would contribute to people's states of mind, including their experiences before they come here.
Blatant police state tactics.
There have been, I think, 7 deaths in detention, I think a number of them from natural causes. I think 2 were from
fire. Identity card. Psychological
warfare. I think the evidence is very clear. There's absolutely no doubt in the minds of psychiatrists that mandatory detention is toxic for mental health, that is directly and causally linked to a range of mental health problems. The numbers of suicides in the detention centres would suggest that the rates might be about 10 times that which we see in the general population. Self-harm is rampant. We're seeing even self-harm amongst prepubertal children who almost never make these sorts of suicide attempts. And amongst children in general, we're seeing high rates of mental disorders and developmental problems. And these are the direct result of being in mandatory detention.
Would you say that the conditions in the camp are deliberately designed to have a negative impact on their people's health?
Yes, definitely. Yes, yes. Because it's to deter people coming to Australia. They said it many, many times, and all of them is available in documents.
So you feel the message the federal government's sending out is that you will suffer if you try to come to Australia?
Yes, yes. He said it. At the beginning, the immigration department and Philip Ruddock, they have produced a video. In that video, he's clearly stating, you won't survive the sea. If you will survive the sea, you won't survive the swamps and crocodiles. If you will survive that, you won't survive the desert and detention center. And exactly one by one, he's proving, you know, with the death, that the people are threatened.
And how does that compare to the way refugees are treated in other developed countries?
In the developed country, let's compare it with Sweden, let's compare it with Germany and many others. It's a huge, huge difference. There is no detention center as such.
Thank you. Station.
Blatant police state tactics. Psychological warfare is being waged against.
You're listening to 4ZZZ. It's 12:30 here on Radio Democracy. What we just heard then was a mix of things, starting off with Mark Heckstep, who was a nurse who worked at the Woomera Detention Centres, Detention Centre from 2000-2001, and that was taken off the film Waking Up the Nation. In there we also heard from Philip Ruddock on the his crimes committed by property, as well as from Hassam Ghulam, who's the president of the Hazara Ethnic Society here in Brisbane. And we're going to go to a track now and come back and return to this topic of the refugees. This is by Refugees, Detention Without Trial, Triple Z.
Free, a fair go and a mock.